Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
And the sidekick.
Oh,
yeah,
that's new.
That's me.
Welcome to Med Crimes.
Yeah, baby.
I didn't know I had a sidekick.
I mean, you're the main event around here.
Just that's better here to... than side chick, but you know.
Is it though?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows?
We're pulling it all together kind of remotely today because I just like woke up with this gross migraine and it was nasty. And so I just could not get my crap together. But here we are. We got it.
And you're snuggled under a blanket.
I am.
I'm in my pajamas.
You are.
Life is good.
It's a good day.
I won't tell you what else, but that's all right.
I love it. We do have a couple new Patreons.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes,
I would love to read a name, but I can't because I don't see your names.
It's all good. So we have Jean Hope.
Oh, hi, Jean Hope. Welcome to the family. You give me hope.
I mean, she gives us all hope. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And lastly, we have Marty Easley.
Marty Easley, welcome to the family. They became Patreons because they wanted to see the blooper reel. I'm convinced.
I mean, that was a pretty damn good blooper reel. Like, if I
so
were...
for those of you who still want to see the blooper reel, it's not too late to become a Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
It is so not appropriate for those of you who are not part of the family.
It's a little inappropriate, but it's definitely worth a watch. Hopefully for more sure. to come.
For sure.
Yeah.
We have plenty of bloopers, trust me.
Oh, yes, we do. Marty and Jean, you guys are like funky, mischievous little satyrs that are just like hopping around causing shenanigans in a field full of fireflies.
Ooh. Oh, a field of fireflies.
Yeah, so that's you
say
guys.
Say that three times fast.
I won't do
field
it.
Field of fireflies. Field
I don't
of
think...
fireflies. I'm already screwing
but
up.
See? Devin's already having a moment here.
So what do we have today, Kate?
So we are doing an update episode. This is the long promised and yet to be delivered update episode on several
updates.
Of our episodes. Yeah. So this will be
not
on
episodes.
Episodes. Several of our episodes that had sort of been left open-ended because they're, you know, the trial was pending or ongoing or what have you. So we have talked for a while about doing a little bit of an update episode, and here is a Med Crimes microdose update episode on all of those shenanigans.
Let's get updated.
Ooh, there you go. Okay, all right, I like that. So
my intro music,
I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. So here we go. We are going to start with Elizabeth Holmes, and I'm going to do just like a brief recap about the case for each case, just to kind of bring us back there for a moment so that we have it fresh in our minds what went down during the case. So
she was fraudulent.
She was quite fraudulent. So as a quick recap, Elizabeth Holmes was a tech entrepreneur who sort of made a grand entrance into the medical community at a very young age. And after a number of failed inventions, she kind of burst into the scene with this like slew of incredibly sophisticated new technologies that promised to revolutionize the way serum blood testing is performed. And also to make all of these blood tests like more widely and readily available and have results instantaneously. So this, had it worked out, really would have changed, you know, healthcare and medicine and diagnostics as we know it, having that availability.
It would be sweet.
Oh my goodness. The thought of it is fabulous. And I think everybody who sort of thought that was, you know, really hoping that this would work because, you know, the thought of that, you know, big change in the healthcare industry was, you know, really appealing. And I think we all really, you know, were
for
invested
sure.
in it and really wanted it to work out.
As healthcare workers and patients, right?
I exactly.
mean, as a patient, a prick would be more beneficial than, you know,
Exactly. And yes, that was the other thing, was that not only were you going to get results immediately and instantaneously, and these it could even happen in your household, they were only using a drop of blood and not an entire vial of blood. So that was what the promise was. And this promise to deliver this technology got her, you know, an astronomical amount of financial support and even landed her on the cover of Forbes magazine. And she had all of these interviews, and she had filed for patents on a number of new devices, including the flagship technology, which was called the Theranos. That was like the flagship unit, which was a small machine that promised to provide these instant blood testing results. And this was something that you could, in theory, purchase and have in your house if you really wanted to. She and her partner that she had at the time, Sunny, had put these labs together, and they had hired, you know, all of these really fancy people and employees to sort of perfect these technologies.
All these fancy people.
All these fancy, fancy people. And over the years, she kind of continued to promise the delivery of this tech, and even landed contracts with like big name insurance companies and pharmacies. And the inherent issue, though, was that while Theranos had promised to deliver these results instantly using only that one drop of blood, the scientists were having a huge issue sort of obtaining those results accurately with that little volume of blood. And unfortunately, that vacutainer of blood is sort of the volume that's like really needed in order to calculate the actual accurate serum volumes of these different
things. The technology just could not produce the results that it would need, especially to be accurate.
Exactly. And they tried and tried and tried in a number of ways, and there was just no way to get these results accurately with this tiny little desktop machine. Without that volume of blood, there was, it's just not physically possible. At least it's not at this point. After years of making these promises that, yes, it's coming and we're perfecting it and we're tweaking it, and, you know, she's promising and just not delivering, and the product over years is just like not coming out, all of a sudden this bombshell article gets published in the New York Times. And essentially it says that based on past employee reports, that zero progress is being made. There really were nowhere close to making any of these units marketable. And eventually, as a result of this article, everything sort of started to crumble. Her investors all backed out. She closed her labs. She lost all of her contracts. All these investors lost a shitload of money because of her. When we left off, Holmes had been charged with defrauding her investors and was facing prison time. But her trial was about to begin sort of the following month when we left off. So the trial happens. They bring up that Elizabeth is very much aware of this, you know, lack of progress that her technology is making while she continues to accept all of these new transactions and new investors and new contracts. Ultimately, on November 15th of 2022, she was sentenced to 11 years in prison. This was actually quite lenient compared to what was being sought by prosecutors. Her attorney, Rachel Fassett, had made these statements that she feels like the sentence is way too heavy and they're seeking to get her sentence reduced. She did file a motion to be able to remain free while her attorneys file an appeal, which was granted. So she has yet to officially be incarcerated. And actually, just 2 weeks ago, Holmes returned to court for a 90-minute hearing to extend her time out of prison while her appeal is being completed. And at this point, she remains free and has yet to actually report to prison.
At all?
Because they're still in the appeal process, and she was granted that ability to remain free while the appeal is being filed, apparently.
Am I wrong? That seems pretty rare. I mean, like, usually with an appeal, you've been convicted, so you go to jail and you sit in there while you have the appeal.
Yeah, and I think that they just deemed, because she's so sort of like financially destitute at this time, she really does not have the means to like be as much of a flight risk. So maybe that's why they made that determination.
Yeah, and maybe because this is also not a harm case. Like, it's fraud, it's bad, like, she didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, exactly. She didn't. Well, she didn't. She may have. Who knows? Because with bad results, she may have harmed people, but she didn't, you know, directly, you know, hurt anybody.
Right.
So as for her ex-partner, Ramesh Sunny Balwani, he
I loved that name. Yeah, Sunny Balwani.
Sunny Balwani. So he was convicted on 12 counts of fraud and conspiracy to commit fraud. And he was sentenced to 13 years in prison for his role in this entire thing. So even more years than...
than the founder.
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, yeah. I'd be pissed. I mean, a day in jail would piss me off. So,
if you remember, too, it sounds like he was the one that sort of ran the more day-to-day, especially in the lab. So I think that they may have been able to make a case that he was more directly involved in, and he had more working knowledge of the failures that were happening.
Right. And was he lying to her or no?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, who knows? So the 57-year-old was supposed to report to federal prison on Friday of last week, but his lawyers filed a last-minute legal maneuver to keep him out. So
they always do that shit last minute.
I know they do. So both of them are convicted and facing prison time, although right now it's kind of muddy on like how long they will go and when they will go. But hopefully this saga will like end somewhat soon.
So this one's going to require a third update.
Probably.
Boom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boom.
Boom.
So, next up, we have Dr. Reynaldo Ortiz.
Oh,
do you remember him, Devin?
This was the IV bag guy, right?
So, as a recap, Dr. Ortiz is an anesthesiologist who worked at an outpatient surgical center for Baylor Scott and White at their surgical center in North Dallas, Texas. And during his time there, he was accused of tampering with IV fluid bags, which resulted in 12 severe cardiac complications in patients in that center. And additionally, this all sort of culminated in the death of a colleague of his, who was a fellow anesthesiologist who had removed a bag of IV fluid from one of the warmers to take home to rehydrate herself because she had come down with an illness. So... she died at home of what seemed like a heart attack, but she was young, she was fit, she was otherwise very healthy. And this really struck, you know, her family and friends as extremely odd. They had some testing done and actually found that she had massive amounts of bupivacaine in her system, which is a what's meant to be more of a local anesthetic, but it can cause cardiac arrhythmias and death, essentially. So,
took a local anesthetic. Put it in IVs, which then brought it systemic throughout the whole system.
Yes, exactly right. In addition, he was caught on a surveillance tape in the halls, allegedly placing IV fluid bags into the refrigerator that, or I'm sorry, into the warmer, which looks like a refrigerator, but it's a fluid warmer that he had sort of concealed. And like on the tape, it really looked like he was trying to kind of sneak them. He had them like in a manila folder or envelope. Yeah, exactly. And so he was like looking up and down the hall and being real shifty about the whole thing. These decompensations also would never happen to his patients, if you recall. So it would always be like with colleagues that he had beef with or like literally anybody but him.
Wasn't he like he was in a room during a surgery and they were going to go out and get an IV bag from the one in there and then he told them no.
Yeah, so what happened was one of the nurses brought him an IV fluid bag, and he said, what warmer did you get
that?
Yeah. Yes. So, and then she told him, and he said, nope, put that back. I want one from the other warmer, because he knew.
Yeah, like how suspect is that?
Allegedly.
What the hell? Still?
Allegedly. Okay. Yes.
So what's, I know. So what's the update then?
I'm getting there.
I'm anxious.
Listen, I'm getting there. So, ultimately, Baylor Scott and White did act pretty quickly, like sort of shutting the center down immediately once they noticed this pattern, and did this whole big internal investigation once all of those events were happening. Once that video of him surfaced, plus a slew of other like circumstantial pieces of evidence, he was arrested and charged with intentional drug adulteration and tampering with medical products causing death. And he was obviously terminated from the surgical center at that point. The medical board did review him and did suspend his license to prevent him from practicing anywhere else. But an interesting tidbit that I found was that his DEA number is actually still active. So technically he can prescribe medications still.
What the frig?
I know, right? So I thought that was interesting.
I don't know if interesting is the right word. I think that's fucked up.
No.
I mean, let's go with...
It's annoying.
I think fucked up.
Yeah. Well, fucked up. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's the word we're going with.
Yeah. Yep. Although I don't think he's doing much prescribing because he doesn't technically have an active license. So, unfortunately, there's very little in the form of an update here, but the latest on him is that in early November, there was a pre-trial hearing that was held. And during this hearing, an FBI special investigator by the name of Dan Allgaier testified that he had interviewed dozens of former colleagues from the surgical center he was working at. A lot of people reported being just like terrified of him, I guess, at work, and that he had this like very volatile temper. And there were even reports that he was very rough with his anesthetized patients. Like if he ever got frustrated in the operating room, he would just like manhandle these people, which is like real icky and like terrible to think about. Like these people literally are like, I'm going to allow you to put me to sleep for this procedure that I need. And like, they're pretty vulnerable in that state. And you're going to toss them around. Like you're an asshole for doing that.
You're a dickwad.
Kind of a huge dickwad. Mm-hmm. So after numerous other testimonies, a judge ruled that he will absolutely need to be detained during his trial. He was deemed a massive flight risk because he has like innumerable financial assets. A trial date still has not been set.
How long is this going to take?
I don't know. And I wonder if things are like backed up because of the pandemic and like maybe it's just, you know, things are getting delayed and whatnot. But like he does not have a trial date still. We will bring you an update once there is more on that.
No, so a very super quick brief update on Operation Nightingale. So, I mean, that one's going to be ongoing for a while because if you remember correctly, there was 7,600 of them. But it turned out that there's a nurse that they just found in North Dakota. I won't say just found. They suspended her license in September, but it's just coming out now. So they suspended her license in September when there was a connection made to Operation Nightingale. And she had been practicing for almost 2 years. Almost 2 years. And so she got her license in November of 2020 in the height of COVID. So in the height of COVID, she obtained her nursing license. She's now suspended. What's interesting is that her license is suspended for 5 years. She has not gone. So she did not graduate nursing school. That we know for sure. And I'm like thinking, what's the 5 years going to do? Like, okay, so
what's going to happen in 5 years?
Year six, is she going to maybe like, I still didn't go to school, but I'm back. So I'm sure, I mean, so they have her on like fraud, deceit, and a few other different things, obviously, but I'm just, so there's more people coming out. There will probably be a lot, but so she went essentially almost 2 years working as a nurse with never having graduated nursing school. So she actually,
and her
she actually
is suspended
right now, suspended, not revoked. hopefully in the 5 years, they'll like, maybe they just did it for 5 years thinking it was going to take that long to complete a full round Operation Nightingale investigation.
Before they can actually take a license away. That makes sense.
Then do a formal revocation. But yeah. So she actually failed like her last. I believe I read that she went to part of nursing school, but like still failed. Like she did not pass.
Oh, wow.
And then got fake documents. And here we are.
Lovely.
So,
and here you are.
Yes. I'm sure Operation Nightingale will have more updates every time we do an update episode.
Oh, probably.
Probably.
Definitely.
I mean, there's 7,600 of them to find.
Yikes. That's wild.
Yeah.
7,600. All right. Thank you, Devin, for that update.
You are welcome.
I now have an update on the Lucy Letby drama.
Uh-oh, I hated this one.
And,
I hated this one.
Yeah, this one is really tough. And trigger warning for this case because it heavily involves infant death. So feel free to skip forward if it is not for you. All right. So Lucy Letby, just as a recap, is the UK neonatal nurse who was arrested and is being accused of intentionally harming and attempting to kill neonatal patients in her care in a multitude of very disturbing ways.
I hate her.
If you have not listened to this episode, I highly recommend it. Also, she's probably one of if not the worst person that we have covered on this.
I'm literally podcast. Like getting chills right now.
Oh yeah, you get chills just thinking about what happened. So, in a brief recap, once again, Lucy was working at the Countess of Chester Hospital in their neonatal unit, which is south of Liverpool, England. Her coworkers had reported, you know, genuinely liking her a lot, and nobody had any suspicions prior to this happening that she was capable of anything like this. The unit where she worked would routinely deliver and care for infants who were premature. In July 2016, however, the unit stopped caring for or delivering babies prior to 32 weeks gestation, because they had noticed a rash of decompensations and an unexpectedly high mortality rate. And this was all very different from their history. And staff had also noticed some odd behavior from Lucy as well, and witnessed patients close to her decompensating, even if it was completely unexpected. She would either be very close by when it happened or have had very recent contact with the babies. And I remember that the initial suspicion came, you know, when Lucy was working nights, all of these decompensations would happen at night. And then they switched her to days, thinking, oh, you know, she'll have, you know, some educators will be present. She'll have more support. You know, maybe it's just a lack of education sort of thing if it is her. And all of the decompensations at night stopped, and they started happening during the day shift. And that was like this huge, you know, timing and scheduling red flag that, you know, something's lining up here. Now, the affected babies would sometimes even be doing really, really well, like I said, and the physicians there would notice that there were some things that were just very off about the way these babies would decompensate. It would be, you know, a very unexpected presentation or something that you just don't see in babies that don't do well. You know, there's a lot of reasons why babies can decompensate, but typically, you know, they have a pretty clear presentation each time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these presentations were very different. She was also seen by a nurse, like, staring at a baby whose ventilator alarm was going off because it had been disconnected, and she was doing nothing but staring at the baby. And the nurse, like, ran in because she heard the alarm going off, and just she was just standing there nothing. Looking.
Yeah,
just like watching it all unfold like an absolute psycho. Allegedly an absolute psycho. So she had also gotten kind of like inappropriately close with like family members. And if I remember right, she was like really inserting herself into the lives of these twins that she had tried to do some harm to. And the internal investigation started to like paint this picture because all of these babies would decompensate on Lucy's time, and she was connected to each and every one. But they did find that she was actually falsifying evidence, too, and documentation, like trying to remove herself from the baby's care, like not signing off on certain things mm-hmm. or saying that other people did things just to make it look like she was trying to distance herself from a documentation standpoint from these babies. And then based on all of that circumstantial evidence, she was arrested. And in searching her home, they found this Post-it note. Do you remember the Post-it note?
That, oh my like, gosh, had... it was like very ambiguous, but yes.
It was, but it also became this very big piece of evidence yes. because
you just couldn't pinpoint the meaning of it, which is what I meant
no,
by ambiguous.
It was yeah. not exactly, yeah, you're absolutely right because it didn't explicitly say, you know, I murdered such and such child, but it did say things to the effect of, quote, I am evil, I did this, and I can't stop, and things of that nature. So people, investigators kind of took this as like a, like, wow, okay, like, is this an admission of guilt? Mm-hmm. And it very, very well could be, but it also very well could be something different. We just don't know. She also had been very creepily sort of like cyberstalking family members. When they looked at her computer, she was like looking up families of these babies that she had done things to.
That's so creepy.
And like stalking them. Yeah, it was just really, really weird. Like, she was trying to stay close to that whole situation in, like, her own weird little way.
Right.
So the trial began last year in October. And
which
they
is
were
when
discussing
we covered this, right?
Yes, yeah. And so they were discussing multiple cases. And at the time, they had gotten through babies. So they had assigned babies, like, letters instead of saying their names for privacy reasons. So they had babies like baby A, baby B, baby C, blah, 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 all the way through baby M at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
The details of each case are pretty disturbing, but alleged that she would intentionally disconnect breathing tubes. She laced breast milk and formula with insulin prior to giving it to babies to cause hypoglycemic episodes. She would give air emboluses through central lines and IV lines. Or even just massively overpump their stomachs full of formula and milk. Just like horrifying, torturous.
And can we just remind
stuff.
People, these are preemies. These are preemies.
These are premature infants.
The most delicate.
The most vulnerable. Yes, exactly. Now, would you believe that this trial is still going on?
It is.
Because it is. It literally, since October... is still going on. The jury has been hearing testimony every single day all this time.
My gosh, that's almost 6 months.
You want to hear something even worse? Mm. We are up to child Q. Baby Q.
Oh my God.
Yes. So there's like even more babies that think bad things happened to. I wanted to give a shout out to this incredible podcast that I found when I was trying to research like an update on this. They have been following and reporting back on the Lucy Letby trial exclusively in detail every single week. And it's called The Trial of Lucy Letby. And it's updated weekly. It gives a great summary of the latest on each and every case and all of the new like witness testimonies and the expert testimonies. And it's really, really interesting. So if you want to hear a lot of details on the trial week by week, I highly recommend you give this a listen. It's very informative. It's The Trial of Lucy Letby. If you search for it on Apple or whatever platform, you'll find it. Her trial has included testimonies of numerous staff, including nurses, aides, and physicians, and everybody who was involved in these babies' care, and also specialist consultants. The latest testimonies have been around child O and child Q. Child O died under Lucy's care after a resuscitation attempt and on autopsy was found to have internal bruising and bleeding. And a consultant testified that it was not due that the baby's internal bleeding and internal damage. And it also apparently there was a lot of internal damage and bleeding around the liver. And her defense had been saying, well, that could have been caused by CPR. But the latest on that is that an expert witness testified like, no, there's no way CPR could cause damage like that. Oh. So what they're insinuating is that somebody or something caused, you know, external blunt force trauma right. to this baby that contributed to their death. Additionally, so with child, I know this is a lot. Additionally, child Q was noted to have deteriorated when his alarms went off and he had vomited a bunch of clear fluid from his mouth and nose. And this baby did survive, thankfully, but ended up on a ventilator following this incident. Radiographs showed like massive amounts of air and fluid in the baby's stomach, like a clear fluid is what the baby was vomiting. So what they're suspecting happened and alleging that Lucy did was that she injected massive amounts of like either water or saline mixed with air into his stomach. Mm. And so much so that he, you know, vomited and aspirated. So the trial is finally due to conclude soon.
I was going to ask, like, did they anticipate mm-hmm. that it was going to be this long?
I think that the victims are just so voluminous and the incidents are so many that they had to go over. I mean, even like a murder trial can last, you know, several weeks or months when there's one victim. Right. So, I mean, think of all the details they had to pore over with this case. She had pleaded not guilty to 15 counts of attempted murder and 7 counts of actual murder. So I'm really looking forward to this concluding. And I would be, so in my personal opinion, I know that she's innocent until proven guilty, but just based on what I've read, I'd be very surprised if she were acquitted from this. But she is innocent until proven guilty. So a lot more to come on her as well. And those are my most recent updates on these ongoing trials and ongoing cases that we have covered in the recent past.
Sounds like the one that we'll have, we'll know Lucy soon, it sounds like. The mm-hmm. other ones?
We should.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
God, that just brings mm-hmm. me back to when we first recorded it, you know, and where I just felt so down. Yeah.
That was so heavy. That was a really heavy day for both of us, I think. Mm-hmm. And I mean, any human being who has loved or cared for a child in any capacity or just has any human decency would just really have a hard time listening to that.
Absolutely.
But it's an important story to tell because, I mean, what she did was just
messed up.
One of the worst things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sure. quite messed up.
For sure.
Yep.
Well, thank you for catching us up on some open-ended cases. So that we can,
no
you know,
problem.
Close these gaps. Thank you, everyone, yes. for listening to us. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. If you want to keep,
we will.
If you want to keep following us, you can check us out on Instagram by searching Med Crimes Podcast.
You can tweet at us at Med Crimes PC.
You can find us on Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you wish to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast and see our blooper reel. And maybe if you sign up for a certain tier, you can get yourself a free t-shirt. Who knows?
I have the jogger pants in my cart right now to buy with the QRS logo.
I know.
I want those before camping.
I know. I know. I want my big fluffy sweatshirt before camping. It's happening.
Last and finally is if you want to become any or have contribution, excuse me, to our next break room banter, please send us your stories at medcrimes@gmail.com.
We love hearing from you guys. So please rate, review. We love constructive feedback. And we try to respond to everything that we can. So reach out, message us, DM us. We'll say hello.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Stay safe out there.
Bye.